There it is. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Luke chapter 8, verse 22 through 25, God willing, we'll read. This is a portion of Scripture that I imagine will be very familiar to you. It's recorded in Luke as well, this incident is, as well as Matthew and Mark. They record it a little bit differently. It's like three witnesses observing the same thing that will tell it a little bit differently, but essentially the meat of the matter is there, and we'll study that today. Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 22. Now, it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Wonderful text, isn't that, brethren? And a wonderful historical account. So many lessons in here. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us and guide us to see the truth of God Almighty in these words. Let's pray for that to happen, brethren. Father, first of all, we come to you thanking you for your goodness to us. We praise you, Lord, for sparing our lives to this very moment. We thank you, Father, for blessing us to be in your house today, in this place, the house of prayer. Oh God, move among us and visit us, please, with your Holy Spirit's presence and lead us into all truth. Oh Lord, prick our hearts and open our hearts to receive your word as it is indeed the word of the one true and living God to his people. Oh Lord, may we understand, may we see lessons in this that only the Spirit of God can give to spiritual people born again of the Spirit of God, made alive. Oh Father, may good seed find fertile ground. May your word penetrate our hearts, our spirits this day. Teach us, may we see Jesus. May we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for the prayers offered already in our behalf, my behalf, as I might try to preach your word. I pray, Father, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. May you get honor and glory, Lord, and may your church be edified, built up, established in the truth of God. Father, your people, wherever they're gathered together in this very moment, in the houses of worship throughout this land, Father, bless and visit and help. We're reminded again, Lord, that we're to pray for those in authority over us. We ask your blessing upon them and your help. Oh, Father, we know the king's heart is your hand, and you turn it whithersoever you would have it to go, just like a river of water. You turn it. Oh, Father, help us and direct our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I was reading this account just a couple of days ago, and it stood out to me. It stood out to me because of the turbulence that's surrounding us right now as a country, as a city, a county, as individuals. I guess I've listened to the news more of late and read the news on my phone more than in a long time. I've been pretty much glued to it. This morning, one of the elders among us, we communicate lots on Sunday morning, just offering prayer for ourselves and one another that God would bless us. And one of the preachers, he said, I'd read it to you, but I'll mess up my recording. I don't know how to work this phone, but he said something like, we need to turn off the TV and start studying the Word of God and coming on to church and not worrying about things around us. And two or three echoed. My phone was just chiming every few seconds, and they were saying, "Go preach on, brother. Tell them about it. Let's do it." And so the lesson today, brethren, is I titled it here from the words of Jesus, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" I must say that I've had some trepidation, some fear, some misgivings in my own heart as I read about the COVID-19. I did figure out, I heard this week how they came up with that name, COVID, C-O for corona, V-I for virus, D for disease, 19 for the year that it sprang up, that it was discovered. Just as a footnote, you probably knew that, but I didn't know how they got that name. But by any other name, it's a threat, it's a virus, it's a threat to us. But you know what, brethren, and what reminded me as I was thinking about, it says here, these men, they were in jeopardy. That's how I felt the last several days. I felt like I've been a little bit in jeopardy to a degree. And I've been washing my hands more and being careful a little bit about where I go and what I do. But storms come, brethren. Storms come. So let's look at this lesson today. All Scripture, as you know, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And this right here, brethren, is a section of Scripture that I think, and I hope it's by the leading of the Holy Spirit, that is particularly applicable, and we can profit from it today in a good way. Now, it came to pass. Things, brethren, come to pass in our lives, in the lives of everybody that lives on this ball we call the earth. Things come to pass. And God's people are not exempted from that. Things come to pass in our lives. Now, it came to pass on a certain day that he went, and that's Jesus there, the he went into a ship with his disciples. He got into a ship with his followers. A disciple is a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, who follows the teachings of a leader and maybe tries to promote those teachings and those lessons in that school of thought. Jesus had disciples, brethren, and on this occasion, on this day, it says, he went into a ship with them, and he said unto them, "Let's go. Let's go." You know, brethren, Jesus says to us, "Let's go. Don't sit still always. There's a time to sit. There's a time to be still and know that he is God. Of course there is. But God, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, brethren. And you can't, even if you're working at home, it's time to go and do something. It's time to work. Let's go. Let's go over unto the other side of the lake." This was an inland sea, this lake. It's sometimes called the Lake of Gennesaret. It's sometimes called the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias. It's all the same. It's a large body of water in the Middle East. I heard a preacher say one time that, and I just passed this on, I don't know, I have never, it's not in Scripture, but I heard this preacher say that in that geographical area that storms can come down. I think it has a mountain range, maybe on one or more sides. I don't know. But somehow the air is such that it's geographically situated such that the air can just begin to swirl on just a short notice and come down off those mountains and hit that water. And just a storm comes up very, very quickly. And apparently, if that's the case, that's what happened on this occasion. Anyway, Jesus says, "Let's go over to the other side of the Lake of Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee." And the last phrase in that verse, 22, says, "And they launched forth." I like to read that. They launched forth. Yesterday, Jan and I went up to the river, and that river's out of the banks, and we took my canoe. I don't know if y'all seen my canoe over there. I brought a canoe from Waycross, and it's been floating around in my pond down there for probably 10 years. I haven't been in it, And I'm 10 years older and several pounds heavier, but we wanted to go canoeing. I said, oh, this is going to be interesting. But we got in the thing and we launched forth, brethren. We launched forth and we came out dry. We didn't turn over. We did fine. God blessed us. But we launched forth. And you know, when Jen got in the front and I got in the back and I pushed, the back was on the bottom of where we were launching. I had to scoot up and push and push. And we finally, here we went. We launched. And I was praying, Lord, bless us here. Please help me. And we launched forth. You know, there's a feeling, brethren, about launching forth. Isn't there a feeling? You ever shoved off from the land in a boat or maybe began an endeavor or you began something and you don't know, you're just going on faith. You're trying to be obedient. You say, well, here we go. We're launching forth. And that's what these disciples did, brethren. Their master was with them. And I'll tell you, when he's in the boat with you, brethren, it's easier to launch forth. When you feel like you've got his blessing or you're following him, you're his disciple and you're following him, you're ready to launch forth. But sometimes, brethren, when you launch forth, things happen. It says, but as they sailed, here they go, sailing across the Sea of Tiberias. They're sailing along, and probably to begin with, it was very smooth sailing. Jesus fell asleep. The master, he goes to sleep. I don't know if they saw him go to sleep or not. We're not told that. But one of the things that I guess if I'd been in the boat and I saw Jesus lay down and go to sleep, I'd say, well, nothing to worry about. He's sleeping. He knows everything. He's got all power and he's going to lie down and go to sleep. So we're all right. But there came down a storm of wind on the lake while Jesus was asleep. Before I leave that, let me mention to you, brethren, that the fact that it says Jesus fell asleep, that demonstrates it, that maybe many things to us. But one of them is this. He needed rest, just like you and I need rest. He occupied a human body. He was human. Jesus, and it is said that he occupies that human body right now in heaven at the right hand of the Father, of the majesty on high. We've been studying that in Hebrews, haven't we? That's where he is right now, bodily. He has a glorified body, but it's a human body. And he took on that human form when he was conceived in the womb of Mary. And he grew, he was in her womb roughly 9 months. He came forth at the appointed time. When the fullness of time came, he came forth. He was as a man. And he grew up as a little boy, baby and a little boy. And in 12 years old, he was in the temple. He was a little boy in the temple. We know that. We don't know much about his early life, but we know what happened when he was 12 years old at that temple in Jerusalem when Mary and Joseph, quote unquote, lost him. We know that. We know that occasion. And then we know when he was roughly 30, brethren, he began his public ministry. And we know that he got tired. He felt pain. He felt temptation just like you feel it. He was fully man and fully God. So he was probably very tired. If you read the prior chapters here, you'll see that he's healing just left and right. He's healing people. He's raising the dead. He's healing leprosy. He's working. He's teaching. He's preaching. And he gets in the boat and he falls asleep. And while he's asleep, there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water. Water came over the edges of the boat. And they were in jeopardy. It doesn't say here that they it was rough sailing or they were getting along okay. It says they were in jeopardy. The boat was, I'd say, in the act of sinking. It was swamped, maybe. The boat was filled with water. And when a boat fills with water, it sinks. And so, they being in jeopardy, brethren, they came to him. Where could I go but to the Lord? We sing that hymn, don't we? Where could they go? They got that right. They came to him and they awoke him. They woke him up saying, Master, Master, they got that right also, brethren. We perish. There's another hymn we sing, and carest thou not that we perish? The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace, be still. Not a good one. That's based on this account right here. Somebody was inspired of God to pen those words and set them to music. Somebody or somebody else was. And we sing them. They came to him and they awoke him saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. I think it's one of the other gospel accounts that says he says, peace, be still. Be still. You ever said that to your child or your grandchild or your niece or that? Be still. How many times did I say that? Sometimes they were still, sometimes they weren't. Now I'd have to say, I'm going to stop this car if y'all don't be still back there. I had to threaten them. If I ever put on the brakes, they'd be still. Before that, they wouldn't. They wouldn't obey me, brethren. But brethren, the one who created the winds and the water, he controls them. And he rebuked them, and they ceased. And brethren, following that, look at the next phrase. There was a calm on the water. There was calm. It was smooth sailing again. And he said unto them, and then here's the title of the lesson, brethren. This is, I want you to ponder all of it, but certainly this right here. Because I've asked my own self this question in the last several days. I want to ask myself, and I want to ask you today. And he said unto them, that's the disciples in the boat with him, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Where is it? And I ask you that this morning. Storms come down upon us. I've been watching the storm, so to speak, for the last 2 weeks. The storm we call COVID-19 or the corona. I've been watching it. I've been watching it spread. I've been hearing about it. And I know some of the news probably is not real accurate. Some of it maybe is. I try to read reputable sources, but I wonder sometimes. But anyway, I've been watching it. Just like if you're out on the ocean and you see a big storm brewing over there miles off, the thing gets bigger and bigger. You begin to hear thunder. You see lightning. The weather begins to change. You watch it approaching. I've been watching it. And very frankly, brethren, my faith has kind of wavered. Not kind of wavered. It has wavered in the last several days. Jesus said, where is your faith? Two ways I want you to ponder this with me this morning. Think about that question. Where is your faith? Like, what's become of it? What's become of your faith? Brethren, when you and I are born again by the Spirit of God, we're given a measure of faith, an amount of faith, a certain amount of it. It's given to us as a part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We all get a measure of it when we're born again. And hopefully, brethren, it grows within us. Hopefully we exercise it and we, in the exercise of it, it gets stronger. We look back in our lives at how God has blessed us. And we see many examples in our own personal lives how he's never been unfaithful to us. He's always been faithful to us. Jan and I picked out a song we want sung at our wedding. It's by, I don't know, some woman sings it and it's beautiful and it says, he's always been faithful to me. That's because we've said to each other over and over, God has always been faithful to me. And we hope we get that sung at our wedding. And I hope y'all can be there and hear it. And it's a testimony. We look back in our lives and we see how God has been faithful. And that helps us to be faithful, to exercise our faith. We read in the scriptures accounts like this right here. These men didn't drown. The boat didn't even sink. They made it to the other side. But Jesus had to pause at a point along the journey and say, hey guys, where's your faith? Where's your faith? I'm here with you. I'm with you. He says to us, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. So come on, exercise your faith. Don't worry. I was thinking during the song service about how the children of Israel were between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. They were caught. They were trapped. They thought they were trapped, but they really weren't, were they? It's like I told you the story of my policeman buddy who said he got out to answer a call and the people kind of kept coming out on the porch and he was sorely outnumbered and he laughed and he said, "I had them surrounded. It was just one of him and all of them." He was making a joke about it and how he was outnumbered. And the children of Israel thought they were outnumbered and they were surrounded. But God, you know what God said to them? "Be still. Where's your faith? Be still and know that I am God." Jesus says, "Where is your faith? Where is it?" And so I've had to ask myself this week, where's your faith? Where is it? What's become of it? In that sense, what's become of it? I read that in one of the commentaries. One of the men that wrote about this and expounded upon it, he said, in other words, what's become of your faith? Come on, draw on it. And the other way I want to ask you about it, we'll ask you to look at this question, where is your faith, is where is your faith? In whom is your faith? Where have you put your faith and trust these days? Oh boy, we're on a roller coaster with the stock market, aren't we? Yeah, biggest one day loss. I think it set a couple of records in the last week since the 80s or so. And we're looking at that and it's good to look at it. It's all right to follow it. But if you put your trust in men or in money or mammon, it's going to fail you. It's going to fail you. But the one who will never fail you is the captain of our ship and the captain of our souls. Captain of my soul, lead on. I follow thee, come dark or dawn. Only vouchsafe three things I crave. Where terror stalks, help me be brave. Where righteous ones can scarce endure the siren call, help me be pure. Where vows grow dim and men do what once they scorned, help me be true. I didn't intend to quote that to you. I think I got it right. I read it out of a book that was given to soldiers going into World War II. I've told you that before, and I think I've quoted it to you before. But where is your faith? In whom or in what are you placing your trust? I hope, brethren, I hope yours is, and I hope mine is in the captain of my salvation. Lead on. Lead on. Let's launch off. I follow thee, come dark or dawn. And so, brethren, that one of the purposes of this sermon, the purpose is to glorify God and edify you and to encourage you and encourage me. What manner of man, and they being afraid, what were they afraid of? I think at this point they were kind of afraid of the master. What power he has. They couldn't be afraid of the wind or the rain or the storm. It's over. There's a calm. But they being afraid. You know, Peter said on one occasion, Simon Peter, when Jesus said, "Throw your nets over there." And he said, "Well, I fished all night and haven't caught a thing." He said, "Well, throw them over there." He did, and the nets were so full they broke then, and they called their buddies, I think James and John, in the other boat to come help them. And Peter, he fell before Jesus and said, "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. It scares me to be around you." You know what, brethren, I feel like that too when I'm in the presence of Christ Jesus. It scares me to be around him sometimes when I'm sinful and ungodly. And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another. And brethren, I mentioned yesterday, I used these scriptures at the men's breakfast at Henderson Chapel. And I mentioned this in my Bible, and maybe yours too. It says, "What manner of man is this?" And at the end of that phrase, my Bible has an exclamation point. It's not a question. It's an exclamation. "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him." Never seen that before, had they? But Christ Jesus has that power. Brethren, I've watched in recent days where a flood, so to speak, has come from left China, gone to Korea, gone to Europe, come here now to our shores, and we're all experiencing the onslaught of that, so to speak, the tidal wave, so to speak, the flood of it. And so how, brethren, do I react to that? How do you react to that? Well, We have our faith in the one true and living God, the one who holds tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we have faith in the one who holds tomorrow. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches over His own. He cannot fail. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. That's the end of the expounding upon those verses. And now for just about 5 minutes or so, I want to encourage you to do this. Some I almost said some practical things. If what I said wasn't practical, I missed out. But here are some things that I want you to think about, brethren, in the days to come. We as a body and taking care of one another and helping one another, ministering to one another, and then and beyond. I read these things. I want to give credit where credit's due. My daughter, who lives in Marietta, they have a very vibrant church, and they did not have services this morning, like many metro churches. But the preacher said, but we are going to do this. They're going to live stream the service. And also he said this, and this is, I think, excellent advice. Take care of yourself so you don't get sick. Do what the CDC and the health professionals recommend so you don't get sick and thereby maybe make others sick, infect them. So take care of yourself. Follow that advice. Check in on one another. I text Sister Carolyn yesterday or last night to check on her and see how she was doing. Frankly, I know she's in that age group, of which a lot of us are, that can be very adversely affected to this. And I just checked in with her, and she said, I won't be there tomorrow, Brother Mike. Said, my family's encouraged me to not come. And I said, Sister Carolyn, I understand. And I do not hold that against her at all. I called my mama earlier in the week to try to tell her to stay home, and she was off in Walmart shopping. So I said, well, so much for that. But I did want to encourage her to be careful. So brethren, check on one another. And you can do that, of course, by phone or text or email. We don't have to go see them. If we think you know, I could go see you and I could be infected and therefore infect you. I hope I'm not. But I don't want to make you sick and I don't want to get sick. But check on one another, brethren. This is a time to check on one another somehow or another. See if they need, they may. One of the things this man said was, pray for those who are scared. There are those that are very fearful. And so check on them and talk to them. Reassure them. Strengthen their faith. Some may be shut in and may need food. Need some item that you could take to them. Hand it to them or either leave it on the porch. Something that you may have or can get for them. Pray for those who are sick. Pray for those who are afraid. Pray for our country and our leaders, our healthcare workers, researchers, that they might develop a vaccine to immunize us from the virus. Pray for families who are out of work. Pray for working families, parents who have children at home and are trying to make childcare arrangements. Pray for all of that. Help one another. Encourage one another. Stay close to one another and close to God. Ask yourself, where's my faith? Where is it? Exercise it, grow it, and make sure it's placed in the one who controls the winds and the rains. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for your good hand upon us. We thank you for sparing us. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for this beautiful day. We join, Father, in prayer that you would have mercy on us and protect us, that you would help this country and you would help those that are fighting the good fight of faith. Father, may we ask ourselves, where is our faith? May we trust in you and you alone. May we grow our faith, knowing that you love us and you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And you've always been faithful to us and always will be. In the name of Jesus, we pray, the name above every name. Amen.